You're listening to Talk Soap. The first rule of Talk Soap is that we do talk soap. So lather up as the hosts catch you up in the week of Daytime Dish. Now, here are your hosts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to today's edition of Talk Soap. With us today, we have the beautiful, the gorgeous, the fabulous Michael. Welcome to the
show. That's right.
I knew that was coming.
I thought he always starts with Kelly, and I'm like, that's fine. She's a lady, but I am too. So there you go.
Well, you are a lady too, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. How about yourself?
Doing good. And then we have the very messy, clanky, cluttery, noise-making, but still beautiful and gorgeous, Kelly. How are you doing, Kelly?
Thank you. I'm doing very well. I'm clanky, noise-making, and able to use my mute button, so you don't have to hear all the dishwashing and water running while I'm, you know, trying to follow the conversation here. But yeah, I'm doing great. I missed you guys last week, so I'm glad to be back.
Well, there's a new rule. Tuesday's Talk Soap is Topless Tuesday Talk Soap. So everybody has to be topless.
Oh. Kelly, you start.
Kelly, would you mind removing your bra, please?
Listen now.
Okay, I'll take my bra
just
off.
Just for that, I'm leaving the sound on while I run this water.
Oh, you better not. Okay, so let's just get started. Well, so much because we weren't on last week. Well, let's just dive right into. Let's start with Bold and Beautiful this time. We usually always leave that for last, and so it's time now for you, Michael, to take a nap. We'll be with you shortly.
Okay, sounds good. I'll be here.
Okay. So. Kelly, are you all caught up on B&B?
No, I haven't watched anything from today because I just got off work like 30 seconds ago. But yeah, I'm caught up for the most part, except for like any mind-blowing things that happened today. But I mean, this Maya storyline is amazing to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about how, you know, like how obviously I don't know a whole lot about the topic. And how, you know, like in that aspect, it's really, you know, in a way educational because she's, you know, whatever. But the more ways she finds to get out of telling him, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. re-energizes how much I dislike her. Because I'm like, I mean, like, somebody posted something on Facebook yesterday about her excuse for having estrogen pills, and her excuse is, oh, they regulate me. Okay, look, if I had any more estrogen in my body, I would never stop crying, okay, ever. Like, be at work, crying. I'd be on this podcast, crying. I mean, you know, like, there's only so much estrogen you can handle. So, I mean, like, and the fact that, of course, you know, like, Rick is, you know, quote unquote, I guess, dumb enough to not question it when he's just like, oh, no, that just regulates your lady stuff. Like, that's not a big deal. And I'm just like, and of course, her whole excuse is like, I'll tell him when we get engaged. Well, you were engaged to Carter. Why didn't you tell him?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now, you know, a transgendered woman needs to continue to always take estrogen. So, because, you know, a man generally, you know, a man creates testosterone, so you have to take the estrogen
I understand that technically it does regulate her as a woman. Like, I understand that, but for her to, you know, because there are some women that take birth control to regulate their periods and all that stuff. Here's your female perspective today. That's not me, but, I mean, like, you know, there are women that take that and that does contain a small amount of estrogen or, you know, some kind of hormones or whatever, but that regulates things for them. So you can keep it on a tight schedule and know exactly what's going on, when and why and whatever. But, you know, I mean, if this is this is obviously enough estrogen that she's taking that is sustaining her being a woman, period. And yeah. So, you know, like, bless his heart. That's, you know, I'm in Kentucky, you know, bless his heart. He doesn't know the difference.
You're just a backwoods type of girl. It's okay. We'll edumacate you.
I mean, I don't need education. You know, it's like, I'm saying bless his heart, you know, like, I know the difference.
Well, I'm also telling you to bless your heart.
Well, okay.
But you do start at a very low dose when you're going through the change, and then you go to the max dose as time progresses. But I mean, I'm not a specialist in it. I'm just going with the what I've learned over the years. And I actually don't personally have ever don't have any friends in my history of life that have went through the change. So I've never got that kind of face-to-face experience just by what I've seen on TVs, movies, education. I do have a friend who's, you know, possibly going to be doing it. So it's definitely a big topic. And but also to continue with the storyline, Jacob Young did an interview with Daytime Confidential, and they said, you're in the midst of a powerful storyline right now, the revelation that Maya is a transgender woman. Can you give us a hint on where it's headed? And Jacob Young says, it's an important storyline. If we tell the story right, it could definitely help maybe one person through their situation in life to be able to accept it, and maybe a parent learns how to accept a child that may be going through the same thing. But I can say, don't expect to see the reaction from Rick. That is how Rick would normally react. So that's as far as we've got with that. So I'm ready. I'm ready for the reveal.
I am. I'm ready for, you know, for her to finally tell him. But I feel like now that you've said, you know, that about, like, don't expect how, you know, he would normally react, I feel like he's just going to be like, oh, okay, you know, and it's okay, and it's no, I mean, like, and it is, I mean, like, it's totally, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, you know, it totally is okay, you know, I would be, if I was him, in that situation, I would be more upset about being lied to, not the fact that, you know, that she was transgender, you know, like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
who she is, you know, she is a woman, and whatever, but, you know, the fact that, you know, she spent all this time talking about how much integrity she has and how she's, I don't lie to him. Apparently you do if you never told him that you had a dick once, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you got to also realize that we don't know how long that Brad Bell has had this cooked up. We don't know if it was just, you know, it could be just a recent decision. So all that pre-transgendered, storyline was before they decided to do this, so we don't know exactly. So, but anyway, it's a show, and we're just going to see where it happens from, you know, from here going out. David has just joined us, who fills in every
Yay!
Once in a while, and so David here is with us. Hello, David.
Hi.
Hey, hey.
So I may have either forgotten or taken a shower and remembered while I was taking a shower. Either way, I'm clean now. sorry. But I'm sorry. I think that Brad thought, how do I get more people? Because he had Shangela on last year.
Mm-hmm.
She was in that storyline where she stole jewelry from, what's his name? The skinny one, Wyatt.
Yeah,
and
Wyatt.
He, like, rescued. And I mean, Wyatt, you actually beat up two drag queens for jewelry. I mean, I'm surprised you're even walking. Because them drag queens and jewelry, I mean, come on. but I just feel like this storyline was out of left field. And I don't think he planned on making her transgender ever.
Yeah.
Unlike his dad, who would have planted these seeds way in advance. Now he has to backpedal and say, oh, well, you know, she's doing this and that. I feel that Maya keeping her identity secret all these years is a bad thing, not because if she's afraid of what everybody says, it just makes her look like she's ashamed of who she is. If she's a proud trans woman who's Black, who's had one of the sexiest Black men as her lover, good God, can we take a moment?
Oh, Lord, Carter with no shirt on.
Yes.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. she is going to say, you know, oh, I'm trans, then I wish she was just proud of it. I wish she was so proud of it. And, you know, I hope Rick reacts badly. I hope he's, like, disgusted. I hope he's, like, freaked out. Because if he's anything else, it doesn't make sense to what I've been reading and seeing about him. It makes it seem like they're going to kind of change people to fit the story. Carter seems like the type that would be like, you know what? I'm pissed you lied to me, but I did love you. Rick? Oh, no.
Especially after the way he reacted to Caroline. He can't. You're absolutely right. He cannot just be like, oh, you told me a very, huge lie of omission. That's no big deal. He can't do that after everything
he
talked
to react badly.
Yes, after everything everybody is saying about, like, Maya's so honest and Maya doesn't lie to me and look at her integrity and look at blah, blah, blah. To me, it's going to be more about, like, how he reacts to her lying more than how he reacts to her being a transgender woman.
Well, that's Carter's story, her being a liar. I think Rick's story should be he should be homophobic. I'm sorry. I just don't believe this Rick would be like, you lied to me? I'm upset. Don't do it again. Come on, babe. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Yeah,
I want him to be a straight-up homophobe. I want him to be raging, maybe pop a blood vessel in his forehead or six. Like, he needs to be angry, you know, because this is major.
Yeah, but you got also...
I need Caroline to slap her. I need Caroline to slap her because after everything she's done to Caroline, again, I've seen some of it, but I need Caroline to slap that bitch. I need it. I just need it.
Yeah.
I will watch that episode.
Absolutely.
But I will say that, you know, being that, I mean, I know Rick's a total dick asshole. I mean, he's just not a very nice person. But they do work in the fashion world. So I don't see how he would be really homophobic, being that the fashion world's full of a lot of, you know, gay people. So I don't know how that would play out.
But that's the thing, Douglas. People are... in this society, okay with gay people. They're just starting to get okay with gay people. Trans people, I don't get it. I don't understand. Why would you want to do that? I don't understand. Like, they don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see him being okay with, you know, a gay guy hitting on him. But I can't see him being okay with his girlfriend, who he put on such a huge pedestal, being a trans woman. I think that would freak him the fuck out. And I
didn't
worry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, let's see here. I'm sorry, I got off track. Well, Quinn, we had a dream that Quinn was stabbing Brooke with a letter opener sword, and then, of course, I don't know if we talked about this, but I knew it was a dream. It was obvious. You know, I don't think she would have done that. But then again, I missed the whole year, so I don't know what she did. I know she knocked Ivy over a bridge, and she's been crazy, but that's where we left off this last time. And now she went to go confront Brooke, saying, stay away from Deacon. And then she confronted Deacon, saying, you know, how can I trust you? I need to know right now, are you going to be with me? Or do you have any ounce of love for Brooke? And he's all like, I love you. I want to be with you, blah, blah, blah. But I can just see there's going to be a showdown pretty soon with Brooke and Quinn. And Brooke also, I like the fact that Brooke really took Ridge and put him in his place this week or last week. I don't know if it was yesterday or if it was on Friday, but Kelly, are you know what scene I'm talking about, when she's pretty much was just saying, hey, you need to think about what you're doing in your life. And God, I wish I had all the quotes, but I mean, she just really was like, you know, you need to realize that you're not going to have kids with Caroline. You're not going to have this and that with Caroline. She's in her 20s. You've already had kids. She's the age to be a kid of yours. I mean, she really like laid it into him. So what did you think about that, Kelly, if you saw that episode? I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I did. And I mean, in a way, she really has, you know, she has a good point. You know, I mean, come on. Now think about it though. If this was like Oldridge with Caroline, it would be absolutely disgusting. And so in a way, I'm kind of glad that, you know, like Ron Moss isn't there anymore, because that would have been the grossest storyline ever if he was still there, because he looks like her grandfather, never mind her father. But anyway, that's another story for another time. She had some excellent points. The thing that aggravates me about Brooke is when she, you know, and she did it with when she first talked to Caroline about being with Ridge, and she just gets all in her face and says, oh, I can have you back in, you know, like, I can have you back just like that. And she snapped her finger in his face. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's stuff that Brooke's doing sometimes, you know, like when she comes in and she just like automatically wants to be in everybody's business and wants to be in, you know, just in everybody's business. You know, she's going to jump in Rick's mess. She's going to, you know, get in the middle of Rick and Ridge and Caroline. She's going to, you know, and then just like reinsert herself into Forrester and, you know, like, and act like she has any authority. And I mean, like, I know she's co-VP or whatever with Ridge, but I mean, she's also, you know, Rick is the CEO. So for her to come in and, you know, act like she has any power and any say over anything just aggravates the shit out of me. With him, she has some really good points, because, you know, like, I mean, think about it, you know, like, what are you going to do with a 20-year-old when you're, you know, you have children that are that age, you know, like, what are you going to do with that? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, she has, I guess I'm kind of a flip-flop on Brooke. I don't know. One day she's okay, and then the next day it's just like, seriously, what are you doing?
I don't know, but she looks good, because, you know, I haven't watched it for a year, but I saw her the other day and she had these tight yellow jeans on, and I was just like, all right, she was looking good. Go, Catherine Kelly. And then just one more thing I want to point out. I know you haven't seen today's episode, but Nicole gets on my nerves. I mean, she just gets on my nerves, especially the whole when she went to go trying to convince them that she can model Othello Othello's on today. I'm sorry. Wyatt and Allie, I think is her name. That whole thing was just awful. She didn't know. She doesn't
Oliver.
Have a model. Oliver. What did I say? Ollie?
You called him Wyatt.
Oh, Wyatt. See, there's too many kids. Actually, they look alike, a little bit alike. But yeah, today she starts singing, and Othello, who I didn't know was still on the show, Othello was like, oh, you got some skills, girls. So I'm thinking, oh, great. Well, she's not going to make a good model, so she's going to be the new singer of the show. So you'll see that when you watch that episode. Anyway, let's move on, because I'm going to try to do this all within an hour today. We can do it. We can do it. Last week was really long because we did the Emmys. So let's move right on to... Oh, God, I don't want Michael to sit still for that long. So, Michael...
It's okay. You can do whatever you need.
And, well, no. Are you still touching yourself inappropriately?
Oh, my God.
Well, I thought we changed the name back from Talk Dirty, so...
She doesn't do that. She's angelic.
I'm angelic.
Okay. Well, okay, Miss Angelic, could you tell me exactly who Ellie is? She appeared on our screens on Friday on General Hospital, and then today she was talking to Spinelli. So I think she's part of Georgie and Max's storyline, but I don't know who she is. I don't remember her.
So back in the day, Spinelli and Maxie were this couple, blah, 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 and then they didn't work out. And then out of nowhere, a new character named Ellie came into play, who was perfect for Spinelli. And so I don't know if when they brought her on, if the intent was to write Spinelli off, and this was kind of a way to get these two together that were perfect for each other, and then like have them go off into the sunset, or if that just happened after she got here. But her and Spinelli got together. They were together for a while on the show, and then she got her dream job out in, I think, Portland, Oregon. And so they rode off together. And at the time, he had custody of Georgie, so she went with them. And it left the opening then for Maxie to be with somebody else. So they do have quite a bit of history, years and years, at least Spinelli and Maxie, I mean. So Ellie's a little new to the scene, maybe the past couple of years. But I really enjoyed her, and I thought that she made a lot of sense with Spinelli. So when he shows up without her, saying they broke up, I thought, no, this is not what I want. And I'm sure that there are a lot of fans out there who really like Spinelli and Maxie together, and they love that he's coming back to fight for her. but I'm not one of those people. And so I really liked him and Ellie, and I'm like, so thank goodness she showed up. And who knows, I don't know how long he's on, if he's just guest starring or if he's just here for a little bit, but I hope she takes him back, because I need Maxie with Nathan. I need that to work out.
Yeah, definitely, because Nathan needs to be shirtless more often, like he was the other day with...
Lord have mercy. I sent Michael a picture of that when I was watching my...
She took a picture of TV. She paused it.
I was like, look, this is at the beginning of Friday's episode. You have to watch it.
She's a good friend. So.
I am. I love you.
Okay, we got that out of the way. Also, General Hospital is going to be broadcasting live for May sweeps. What are your thoughts about that, Michael?
Well, this should come as no surprise. I think I'm going to like it. And I don't know. You keep your negativity to yourself. You'll talk later. I think on the one hand, you need to have some, it's not like they're writing special stories, I don't think, for like, ooh, it's going to be a live episode, we're going to do this. I mean, on the one hand, they're still going to make their stories, they're still going to be on the air, but they do have to have some gimmicks every now and then, and I mean, it is a nod back to the past when soaps were live, and so I think that it would be fun. I've never seen a soap live. Obviously, I wasn't around back then, so we'll see. If anything, it's a challenge to the actors. It'll be fun to see. I don't know. I kind of like these special episodes. I mean, like, we make fun of, like, network TV that's on once a week, you know, like, or Blossom. Blossom was big for, you know, NBC. Tonight on a very special Blossom, you know, and we would make fun of those things. But we remember them, you know, and you remember it fondly when you look back. And I'm hoping that, you know, when you have a show on every single day, that you need some of that stuff sometimes, too. So I think it has potential. I'm curious.
Now, Kelly, what are your thoughts about Hayden and Nicholas?
Oh, my Lord, I'm so glad you asked, because, let me tell you, the fact when they were in the hotel room and he was like, you know, I know you're not, you know, you're not Jason's wife, or you're not Jake's wife, because he didn't call him Jason because he's following the story. Anyway, I was super happy because the first thing I noticed is, dear God, he had black pants on. Praise the wardrobe stylist at GH for finally getting that man out of this 80-year-old gray slacks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Our prayers have been answered. I love it. But then, like, he starts, like, and I'm like, whoa, what is going on? You're totally making out with her. Like, I know you're stressed because everything was censored, but come on now, calm down. Because I'm I sent Michael this message as well. I am not, I mean, like, let me be emphatic about this. I am not a Hayden fan. I want Rick to get found out. I want everybody to, I haven't watched today, so that may happen today. I want somebody besides Nicholas, because, you know, she's got dirt on him too, because she knows that he knows who Jake really is. Mm-hmm. You know, I want somebody besides Nicholas to know that she's not who she says she is. Because I don't know if that'll mess things up with Sam and Patrick if she finds out that Jason's alive, because, you know, like, that's before my time, that whole Sam Jason history, whatever. But I really want him to be with Elizabeth. I really don't want Rick to be with her. I don't like Rick.
Jeez. Yes. Well, just give it time. Give it time. This is all still brand new, so I'm sure it'll get better.
I mean, like, when she was trying to hit on Rick, I was like, wow, that's funny. Like, calm down, you know, like, you know, you just because you haven't gotten any while doesn't mean that you need to, like, you know, try to jump the first bones of whoever you see. But apparently, yes, it does, because then she did it twice. Like, well,
exactly. You know, what are your thoughts on that, Mr. Michael? On Hayden?
You know, so when we had our show 2 weeks ago, I admitted that I thought she was supposed to look like that designer from HGTV, and when she did, and I got mad at her. But now that I've watched her a little more, I like her a whole lot more. Like, I don't like her character. Like, I mean, she's bad. You know, she's one of those people. But it's not one of those bad where it just makes me so mad I want her off my screen. Like, I'm more interested in where it goes. And I hate Nicholas. I can't stand Nicholas. I've always hated Nicholas. I never want him on the show. The only time I liked him was back in the Four Musketeer days with him and Emily and, you know, back in the 90s. So I do like him, though, when he's with bad people. Like, I loved him with Brit, and she kind of redeemed him to me. Like, I liked watching him when he was with someone bad. And this girl is bad, or at least she's doing bad things. So it's intriguing to me. So I kind of want to see what happens. I'm the same way as Kelly, though. I want Jake to be with Elizabeth, and I want that to happen. And hopefully it does at some point. But I like this I like this evilness they have going on behind the scenes. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Now, we also, you mentioned Spencer. Spencer, you know, of course, is recovering from the fire that he was in at the Cassadine Castle or whatever. And he went, and it was so cute. He just went up and opened that safe and was trying to get that one ring, but he ended up getting Papa Cassadine's ring, or Papa Quatermain's ring. Who was it? Whose ring is that?
It was Alan's
ring. Alan's ring. He took that ring, which is almost like a bracelet to him because it's so big compared to what he was looking for. And he took that over. He took that over to Emma and gave it to Emma. And then they got into a little fight. It was so cute. And he threw it, and it went underneath the couch, which is underneath Patrick and Sam's couch because Sam's now moved in with Patrick. And they keep zooming to it. Every time they're in that room, they keep zooming to it. And I'm like, when is somebody going to see that? Sam, look under the couch. Once you see that ring, you're going to know that Jason's alive or something. So I'm ready for that reveal to happen. I'm really ready for this Jason reveal because it's gone on. It's been 6 months now. So, but then again, we've had storylines like Luke and Luke's storyline go on for a year and plus, and then we had Diane's murder over on Young and Restless go 8 months. So, you know, storylines can go on for a long time. So who do you think has baby Ava, Michael?
I have no idea. Like, my first thought is like, Michael, stop it. Why are you doing this? Like, you're not helping your case, and I already don't like you. You're being mean, and you don't need to do this. But then, you know, they got the whole, you know, I almost call her Nina. And so, like, I feel it's almost too obvious to go to them. So I feel that's kind of obviously why they're getting questioned and what did you do. So I don't know if it's – I want it to kind of be someone out of the blue or someone I didn't expect. Like, I mean, what if it was, like, Sabrina who did it, you know, to be – you know, because she's on Michael's side and believes him and she kind of wants to get the baby out of the way. I mean, I would like something out of the blue to be the one. I don't want it to be someone – it'd be too easy, I feel, if it was Michael or you know, one of the others. But if they do go that route, I'm expecting something that makes a lot of sense or like leads to some bigger story. You know, I can forgive simple if it gets me somewhere better.
Yeah. Now, my thought was just a random thought was Obrecht.
Ooh. And we haven't seen her in a while, you know, and she needs to be evil and be around a little more. So I would be fine with that. I'd like
I mean, that's just my thought. I mean, I have no idea who did it. Watching today's episode, it's just too obvious that it's not Michael and Nina.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Ava and Silas are in New York, so it can't be one of them. So I really don't know. Unless Silas took the baby to New York to see Ava. So
I don't think so.
I don't know. Maybe it'll be Obrecht.
I think it's Laura.
It's Laura.
There we go. She's coming home.
She finally came
Thanks,
back.
Thanks, Laura.
Fake Laura, yeah.
Flora. Yeah, it's Flora. She has a split personality because she killed her dad. So.
Yeah. God bless.
You guys didn't know that.
Oh yeah, but I don't like that storyline. I don't agree with it. To me, it didn't happen. Well,
she actually did kill her dad, but she didn't have a split personality. She just ended up with a rapist. So there's that.
Yeah, there's that. okay.
I kind of think it might be Brit, though. I don't know why.
Well, he's just evil. Brit? You expect, evil things, evil people. Like, it must be you.
Either that, it better not be Heather, because I am so all set with that bitch.
Are you done with Heather being on, or you just don't want
her? She's so annoying. I don't want her on anymore. He writes her like a cartoon character. He doesn't know how to write her like an evil person.
Yeah.
So I'm on that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm done with her. She was just on a couple, about a month and a half ago when she took a syringe full of LSD and injected it in Franco, or actually he injected it himself. So anyway, let's see what else is going on in Port Charles.
What about, what's her face? I guess Lulu's cousin. I feel like
she's Valerie.
She's starting to get this little crush on Dante. I feel like she needs to watch her step with that.
Yeah.
My God.
And tried to freaking slit Luke's throat. Calm down.
Yeah. Yeah, calm down, girl. Calm down. But then Dante talked her down. And then, oh my God, then what's her face leaves Rocco in.
Oh, Dante.
Dante leaves Rocco in Valerie's care, and then Hulu. Not Hulu. Lulu walks in, and she about has a conniption fit, and then they all.
I would too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you just had a scalpel to my father's throat, which would be kind of difficult because he's dead already. But anyway, that would be kind of I would not be comfortable with you holding my child.
Yeah.
But to Lulu's point, she doesn't have a right to be mad. I mean, look at Dante's dad / brother. I mean, mm-hmm. he's a mobster. He's killed people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she can't really be too mad. Yeah. But, I mean, how stupid are you to leave your child with... I mean, she would never hurt a baby. Don't get me wrong. But she's probably as bad of a babysitter as she has an actress. Yes, I said it.
Do you think part of her leaving, or Dante leaving the baby with her, other than he had to go somewhere, do you feel it's supposed to represent how he feels about her? He's talked her down, he gets to know her a little more, is it their way of showing that she is trustworthy, or do you think it was just he had to go someplace and had no other
choice? You're so cute for thinking that, but that's not really what happened. What happened was the head writer said, Dante needs to leave, and we need to see a fight between Lulu and
you're,
Valerie. There you go.
I believe my way.
Oh, you're so adorable for believing that. You go on. And Santa Claus is real, girl.
Why are you so mean to me? You're so nice on Sunday.
He's real, girl.
I didn't like Bob Guzer or Jill Ferris Phelps, but I appreciated stuff that they did. I mean, you could not like someone and still appreciate the show.
I'm telling you right now, girlfriend, they did not think that deep into Dante. Dante is about as intellectual as a bag of wet hair. Let's just keep it real. All right? Truthful Tuesday.
Okay, let's move right along. I am over this Olivia, Julian, Ned, and Franco storyline. I mean, it's that. I mean, I as listeners know, I'm new to the show, 3 years, and I don't really know a lot of Olivia's storyline, and I don't really know anything about Ned. But is it that bad for her to not let Julian know he's the father for Franco to blackmail her to get a room up at the Metro Court? I mean, ridiculous.
Okay, first of all,
whatever I had to say to get Julian to spend time with me, I'd say it because he is fine. You keep that shirt off, Julian Jerome. You're an old man, and that's okay. But are fine. So
David, go ahead.
I'm sorry, David.
Well, look,
that's
no, it's okay. It's okay. But look at Sonny. He's short, kind of dumpy, and he's got a receding hairline. You get Julian, who's fine as look. He's got the body of a 25-year-old, and this man's 45. You think I'd be hiding that secret? Franco, go tell him that this is his baby. And if he wants to help me deliver the baby by lubricating stuff down there, he can do that. Here's my number. Go give it to him. Please. Are you kidding me? The man is gorgeous. He's hotter than his son, who's 25. Are you serious? I would take Alexis by her bangs, drag her out of the Metro Court, lock her out, sit down, and be like, how you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you crazy?
But I think it's going to, I mean, something has to happen, though, because Ned, the Wally Curse, the actor, like, he's leaving General Hospital. He's going back to Days of Our Lives. He just signed a contract there. So, which makes me sad, because I really like him. But what's that? What'd you say?
They gave him a contract. General Hospital wouldn't give him a contract. So he said,
oh, yeah. No, I mean, he did what he needed to do. I don't blame him. But, I mean, like, I like his character, Ned. I kind of like Ned better than I like Justice on Days. So, but he's leaving. Mm. So I don't know what that means. I mean, you can't really pretend to be the baby daddy when you're not on screen. So I don't know.
Well, they'll
probably
get Kurt McKinney out of retirement and bring him back.
Well,
they hired somebody new. Yeah. Mm. Kurt McKinney, he was the first Ned.
Mm. Okay.
The first adult Ned. He was really good. And just a fun fact, Sharon Case played Ned's girlfriend Dawn on it back in the day. Just a fun fact.
Oh,
who did?
Love her.
Sharon Case, who plays Sharon Newman on Young and Restless.
Oh, okay.
Poor Sharon.
Yeah.
Poor.
But hold on. We're almost done with GH. Hold on. Because we got to save.
I need to take my medication before we talk about her.
No. But let's just round up real quick with, you know, what did you think about, Michael, what did you think about what Morgan and Kiki did with the drugging and the videotaping and the baby being tipped over to try to get, you know, custody back of Ava?
Okay, David, I'm going to need you to keep, I need David to keep quiet for a minute so I can say this.
That's not
going to
happen.
Okay, you know how, I don't know, David, if you know this, because I'm angelic, but I love when harm comes to children and babies on soap operas. Makes my day when they kill a baby, makes my day when a child dies, because you can get so much drama and grief and good stuff out of that. So I love that the stroller went over. You know, I mean, is it really that, I don't know, when you go back, you know how sometimes they have to write things, ooh, we're going to be doing this, so we better say this first. Like, how they found out that Rocco was really Dante's son. Ooh, Dante has this hand condition and needs this special cream, you know, and, oh, the same as the baby. And they've never mentioned it since. I feel that way kind of like about these allergies. I never knew Michael had allergies, but now they had to say he had allergies so they could switch the medicine. So I had to get over some of those things in order to get there. But I like Morgan and Kiki teaming up. I like that aspect. And I just like seeing Michael taken down, honestly. So, and the baby falling over, I love that. Love that the baby was fine, obviously. If she wasn't fine, that'd be a whole extra layer that I would be okay with, because it's fictional TV, so I can say that. I don't want this in real life, but I love when harm comes to kids and babies on TV. So, I'm okay with it.
I'm seeing a whole nother side of you, girlfriend.
You make me evil.
Isn't it great, though, David? It's great.
It's something.
Now, David, when Ava was pregnant and Nina came and force delivered the baby before she was actually delivered, Michael was saying the same thing. Oh God, I hope the baby miscarries. I hope the baby dies. I hope the baby's stillborn. I hope somebody kids. And I was just like, oh my gosh, Michael.
No, I still want Will's baby on Days of Our Lives to die. I mean, that baby's getting to be what it's called. That needs to stop. Sammy is not a grandma. That needs to not be the case. And Carly does not need to be a grandma. That baby needs to go. I mean, she's not a grandma because Morgan's the dad. Or, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. That's what I got.
In the words of Britney Spears, she's not that innocent.
I'll take my bow now.
Okay. Well, that's it for Port Charles. Do you have anything to add to that, Kelly, before we move on to Chris Pratt's disaster?
No, I'm on. Yes, Chuck. I'm with Michael. I'm glad that you know Michael is. I mean, like, he may end up having custody of Avery, but I'm glad that right now he's suffering and he doesn't, because he's a douche. He's a douche. When I first started watching the show and he was with old Kiki, which I, now that new Kiki is here, I really enjoy the old one. So props to you, Michael. You were right. I like the old one better. But I mean, like, when he was that Michael and he was you know, with Kiki and he wasn't being a complete asshat, I was all for him. But now that he's being a complete douche, I'm just like, seriously, like, you're doing what? I know he killed your father. I know. But, I mean, like, come on. You know, give Sonny a break. He saved you at the Haunted Star. He kept you from dying. Like, cut him a little slack. Quit being a douche. And so when, you know, now that when that social service worker came in and, you know, and took Avery away from him, I was like, yes, because, you know, she's part of, like, the two, you know, apparently most powerful families in Port Charles, being the Jerome's and the, you know, and the whatever, but it's been funny, or Corinthos or whatever, you know, like, being, you know, part of each of those, you know, makes her awesome. But what she's not is a Quartermain. I'm sorry, Michael. Give it up. Give it up. So I'm glad he's getting, you know, shit on right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry, I'm trying to type something.
Did I leave you speechless? I mean, I didn't feel like it was that powerful of a speech.
I could tell.
Yes.
Shut up, baby killer.
I hope you did.
that's because Kelly's an Emmy winner for lighting. We know this.
I decided
that what we can call it, Michael, is a semi, like it's a fake Emmy. So I am.
Yeah, we don't want to be sued.
Michael, oh dang, is that what that is for? I don't know. We Michael and I are the best light switch flippers in daytime podcasting. So we should win.
That airs in the evening.
Exactly.
Well,
for daytime podcasting that starts after 7 p.m., we are the best. So,
oh, my goodness. Okay.
We need some recognition for that. Just saying.
You missed us. We're back.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Sorry. Somebody just totally inboxed me some X-rated photos of someone, and I just was caught off guard. So, yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, Twitter. Okay. Anyway, let's move on to a
whole
other.
You're looking at porn while you're supposed to be talking to me.
Were there pictures of Billy Miller?
If there were pictures of Billy Miller, I'm expecting that to be forwarded to my Twitter inbox.
not even close to Billy Miller.
No, not even close. But let's move on. Speaking of Billy Miller, he used to work at CBS, which is where we're going to move to now. CBS. Wow.
Very nice segue.
I don't even know where to start. Let's start with
the rest of time.
Yes. We're at 7:43. Okay, well, we're not going to make the hour. I mean, we're going to go over the hour. Sorry. Okay, Sharon Case. David, I'll let you just take this one because I've been seeing your tweets and we've been tweeting about it. So let's just talk about Sharon and what Chuck has done to Sharon. Go on.
I feel like they are bullying this poor girl. And she's just like, I will collect this paycheck, but I am not happy. And she's not going to ever voice her opinion. She's going to keep, you know, plugging away. But let me tell you, if some hooker walked in my house without knocking and called me a killer, my stiletto would be so far up her ass they'd need to surgically remove it. And if some skinny little thing grabbed me by the arm and threw me in my own house, I would break off his leg and stick it up his ass. Are you kidding me? I would take off my weave, pop off my fake nails, have someone hold my jewelry. I'd be boxing. And I don't care how old these kids are. Like, are you kidding me? Those two scenes were insane.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that they were even on my screen. Like, Kyle manhandling Sharon?
Yeah.
Sharon Case is, like, towering over him, number one. And number two, oh, no. No. Sharon needs to go get that rock that Nikki had to kill his mama and hit him over the head with that shit. That's what I would do. I'd be like, Kyle, wait a minute. I just need to go for a walk real fast. I mean, are you kidding me? And then the whole, Nick, first of all, why the hell is Gowen in the storyline? Doesn't he have a girlfriend to slap or something? Like, doesn't he have to Ike Turner her? Like, get out of this storyline. I'm just so completely floored by this whole thing. I'm not happy. A bitch ain't happy.
No, no.
And I'm not like Baby Killer over there who just, oh, I love it. I trust the writer. F that. I want to meet Chuck.
I didn't hear what you said.
I want to meet Chuck. And I want to say, Chuck, my darling, had you picked up the, I don't know, from 95 or whatever, the book that somebody wrote that was a chronology of the history of Young and the Restless. If you do not have that book, I can order it for you on Amazon. And you need to read that. Take a weekend. Read that cover to cover. Come back and then write some story. Because right now, it's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Angelica McDaniel did an interview. And she said, oh, I'm just so happy that Chuck's here. You just don't know. He breathes and sleeps the show. He knows these characters inside out. I have full trust of him. Girl. Mm-hmm. And I have a bridge in London I want to sell you. I mean, really.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. If he loves this show and he likes to write for this show, I am 100% white. Okay?
Oh.
Come on. I was so disgusted. I'm disgusted by the show for the past couple weeks now. At first I wasn't when he first came on. I was really excited. I gave him a chance, and now it's his own original storyline, and Flack, really? Do we need a Flack? Come on. He's trying to compete with GH with this double Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Or I call it Jack of Spades. And Victor apparently knows so many people that he knows everybody's twin. And I'm so disgusted. I just think it's probably, you know what it is? It's not even a Jack twin. You know who it is? It's Sheila Carter.
Yeah.
She's going to rip off the Jack mask and she's going to be like,
if I give a mask, that's just going to have to be the end of it. Like, seriously, a mask?
It can't be another person that looks like Jack. Come on.
Well,
it can't be.
In the interview with TV Insider with Peter Bergman, he did say that it is a man from Peru that was in prison where Victor found him.
Oh, for God's sake. And how did Victor find a man in Peru? I mean,
I know. I'm telling you.
Put out a casting call.
Right. I just want to do some quotes from this interview because it just came out today and I was reading it and I was just like gasping the whole way. But the guy says, sounds like he might go rogue at some point. Will he? This could be a major nightmare for the mustache. And it says, the best laid plans, when you bring in somebody that is unpredictable things happen, and Victor will find out that he cannot control this guy. The new Jack is fascinated with Phyllis, but he's also going to find himself very taken with Ashley. What the fuck is that?
God, that's gross.
That's gross. If Ashley's like at the lab and fake Jack walks in and starts flirting, what the hell is that? I mean, that's it's just ridiculous.
Getting ridiculous.
It's really, really bad. And, you know, here's one more quote so we can move on. The interviewer said, fake Jack has done his homework and knows everything about the real Jack. And then Peter Bergman says he's extremely well prepared to drop right into Jack's life and take over seamlessly, but there are things he could not know, things that will trip him here and there, like Adam. On top of that, he's reckless. Can you imagine what it feels like to get out of jail and suddenly be Jack Abbott? Life with beautiful Phyllis, the luxury, the expendable cash. It's a candy store, and he can't get enough of it fast enough. And unlike Jack, who's the ultimate in restraint when it comes to clothes, this guy likes things loud. He's going to wear bright stuff. I've been having a ball with the people in the wardrobe department. Fake Jack has a large appetite for life. He's very careless. When he makes a mistake, he's confident he can fix it.
Well
when Jack makes mistakes, he's confident that he can pay enough to cover them up. Isn't that the same thing?
Well, if you know what, whoever prepared Jack, fake Jack, for Jack Black needs to prepare Chuck for writing for Young and the Restless. He needs to take that tutor and really look at the history, because this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know what I hope? I hope this Jack doesn't like Ashley. I hope he's gay as a doornail. You know, like, like flamboyant and Liberace, and he comes out with rings, and he's like, when nobody's looking, he's like singing Gloria Estefan. Oh my God, that'd be awesome. I would love it. And have like clip on earrings, you know, Catherine's jewel clip on earrings, and sing I Will Survive. Oh my God, I would love that. I would watch that. But this,
oh
God.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
I don't care if he's fake or not. Having a fantasy sex scene with Ashley, someone's watching the marathon of Flowers in the Attic on Lifetime. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
And
as regards to Kelly, it's, the TV Insider says, we're kind of forgetting about original Jack here. How does he handle being held hostage by crackpot Kelly? And Peter says, we thought we knew Kelly, but now, wow, it turns out we don't. Don't forget, Jack still believes she committed suicide. So the fact that she didn't is just the first of the crazy shocks. Kelly's explanation of how Jack wound up gagged and shackled to this bed is on this unknown island is all the more explosive. As the information unfolds, there's no good news in there anywhere for him. So while fake Jack is living it up in Genoa City, original Jack has a story of his own. He'll be having some tough days, and it's only going to get tougher as the weeks go along.
Well, this proves a point, though. This proves a very important point that people don't realize. Chuck Pratt does not just discriminate against Sharon Kate. He has a thing out for Katie McClain, too, because he ruined that character.
Yeah.
He completely ruined her character. I mean, what in the heck?
Was it after he started writing that she started looking like such a desperate
kid? When he came on, she was this loving, grieving woman who liked opera and picnics in the park. And she was, the only thing I didn't like about her was she blamed Stitch for murdering her abusive father. I thought that was weird, but that was the worst thing that she had done. Now she's batshit crazy, and I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Is Jack's penis made of gold? Did his penis give her an orgasm that she just can't get over, and she wants it that bad? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, and Peter does say in the interview that the first scene that we should have noticed he was kind of off was when Jack threw Kelly into the underground room and had crazy sex with her. That was fake Jack.
That was fake Jack.
And that's why when he's in the hospital, he's so like, I didn't have sex with Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And like, son of a gun, why didn't I come up with this sooner? I had no clue.
Because you weren't
zero
thinking like
clue.
An idiot, hon.
That's true. Thank you.
When you think like a moron, then you would have came up with it. But because you don't think that way, I mean, nobody saw that.
I mean, it's just like, it's ridiculous.
It is.
Ridiculous.
So who is Victor working with in the booth?
Ugh.
I also found out through Twitter that Austin is alive, and that's who he's working with. But that's been... Austin. Okay, here's the theory. Austin is alive. He and Victor were working on this this documentary thing together, but the Courtney death was not supposed to be part of it. Courtney will learn, I guess, that Courtney had a part of something and got wind of it, and that's why he killed her. But apparently that's what's going on. I mean, we've all had different ideas of who it could be. But apparently next week we find out who's you know,
it's
in there.
The 21st is the big reveal, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, next week is
when... I mean, in that whole storyline and that whole ordeal absolutely blows my mind. But the most ridiculous part, every time somebody mentions Austin's name, Summer is just, oh my goodness, my husband, and he's dead, and poor me, and I just lost my best friend, and life is terrible. And then he goes and has sex with Kyle.
Yeah.
Well, he is Australian.
I know he's fine. I know he's a young man. I know he's fine. But come on. Your husband, who you claim to love and adore, has been dead for 5 minutes. Can you not control your vagina long enough to not have sex with the first fun thing that walks through your door that's not your brother?
Well, no, not even that. Actually, she used to be brother. Well, no, don't have sex with your stepbrother, you nasty whore.
Yeah.
Ew.
They used to be half, now they're step.
Now they're step. Oh, gross.
Hey, incest is best.
Whatever. Isn't that it?
So, Kyle... Kyle popped out of the woods and, what are you doing, Sharon? And that was kind of creepy. So what do you think Kyle's story is, Michael? David, sorry.
Yeah, you don't watch it.
I'm just having fun listening.
I think that Kyle is gay and he wanted tips from Sharon on how to do his hair. Like, he wanted to know how she does her hair so perfectly, even though she doesn't have a fucking job. I don't understand, and I say that a lot with Weinar, I don't understand why everybody is so against Sharon and will believe, they'll believe anybody. If I walked in that scene and I was like, you know who killed Douglas Lancaster? They would go hunt you down in Florida and they would be like, I know you killed Austin. Summer would slap you. Kyle would string you up by your toes. And then I'd say, you know what? There's hardcore evidence that Michael Grosso killed Summer's baby. I mean, that would be real. I mean, that would be honest. But then they would go to Pennsylvania, find Michael. Like, they literally focus on anybody else. But it's Sharon. They just, like, think she's batshit crazy. And... I would question if I was Paul, because I think Paul did a great job in that scene. I'd arrest all of you.
Mm-hmm.
He never said, Kyle, why the hell are you following Sharon? Why are you here? Like, weren't you in New York? How did you suddenly pop up? And don't give me the excuse that Abby invited you to a party, because she invited you to a party even though she hadn't seen you in 6 months. That doesn't make sense, brah. Like, if I was Paul, I would be questioning every one of them hardcore without all that other mumbo-jumbo. Because he kind of questioned them, but it was like,
Yeah, kudos to Doug Davidson, because the line of the day was, shut up,
Oh my
Kyle.
God.
He said, shut up, Kyle.
Said it.
I was just like, yes.
I loved when he said that.
He dragged her across, dragged him across the floor. I loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can we just laugh at Friday's, quote, cliffhanger with Avery pushing Joe over the balcony?
Okay.
No, it made me so sad because he's fine too.
David, you go ahead and then I'll
get
to tell
you. I talked about this. Did I talk about this on Sunday? I did.
You did. It was good.
Avery's 5'7", maybe 5'10", with heels on. Joe is 6'4". How the fuck is she going to push him?
Mm-hmm.
And then lie about it to the cops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She lied. She's an officer of the court. And she said, oh, he tripped and fell. Hooker, no, he didn't. He didn't just all of a sudden start dancing around and then tripped and fall doing the hokey pokey. No, you pushed him. You need to own up to it. But I love the fact that he fell into a dumpster. Like, thank God for that dumpster. Woo-hoo.
Oh, somebody on Twitter said, too bad that Ronan and Phyllis wasn't having sex in the dumpster when they did.
Oh, Ronan and Phyllis. I forgot about that.
I'm saying, I would give anything to see Ronan back on that show. You talk about, like, mixing a cocktail of bathwater on that one. Like, Ronan and Billy Miller, come on now.
So now Avery went from hating Joe to feeling sorry for him. I guess I'm confused. Maybe she needs to go back to her cooking show. She was good with that.
Yeah. Actually, she needs to go on the cooking channel, the food channel, and just not come back. Sorry.
Thank you. She's the worst lawyer. She takes sides with Nick and ostracized Sharon and says Sharon's the worst person on earth. She can't say shit about Sharon now, can she? She cannot say shit. Because Sharon never put, I mean, Sharon may have killed someone accidentally, Cameron, but with a wine bottle. But whatever, it was self-defense. She never pushed a hot guy off a roof. Just saying.
Yeah.
And I loved how Paul went after her. Paul was like, so, you came up to this room alone with your ex-husband, who you don't like, and you were drinking wine together? He went after her. I love bitchy Paul. I don't know who's writing Paul. I think a gay man's writing Paul. Because he is so bitchy and so funny. I just love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I didn't really like, I mean, like, I'm sorry, David, we disagree on this, but Paul is like my least favorite person right now. Because he went, like, he went straight to, and Dylan did the same thing when he was asking Avery about it. Like, it wasn't like, you know, are you okay? Like, tell me what happened. Their initial instinct was, did he force himself on you? Like, all of a sudden he goes rape it. Like, come on. I mean, like, I know he may do some underhanded things and he may be, you know, a little devious and whatnot, but not once has he ever been, like, sexually inappropriate, except he's when he's trying to make out with, you know, like,
ooh,
he's not
trying
a
to make out with her. Ooh.
I know, right? God, and please. So, and that, and even then, that's all he was doing. But
right.
I mean, like, they went straight to he's a sex offender.
Yeah.
You know, right. And like, and that part bothered me a little bit. But I mean, like, he's so, like, I do very much admire Paul's, you know, and Doug's, like, acting ability. Because I've said it before, for somebody that, like, to irritate me this much, I know you're not this irritable in real life. So, for me, it's just like, when you come on the screen, I roll my eyes and I'm like, dear God, I don't want to see you anymore. You know, props to you, but I just, I mean, like, I'm just not his biggest fan right now.
Yeah, now, I want to say, speaking of props, I want to give props to Robert Adamson, who plays Noah. He has acted for the really first time, I think, in this last week or so. I mean, he's really channeling, like, Noah, you know, with his mom. I don't know, maybe it's just me. It just seems like he's, you know, maybe it's because he's got something that's worth it after, you know, having that stupid storyline of being married in the middle of the Scooby-Doo thing. I mean, that's just ridiculous, but props to him. I just enjoyed his, you know, scenes with his mother, you know, talking to him, but. Anyway, I wanted to ask you, do you have something, somebody?
When Courtney was dying, all I kept thinking of was how he probably reacted when Lindsay's ankles were broken, like, or legs were broken. I mean, he probably reacted the same way. And I could, that's the only thing I kept thinking of when he was, like, laying on Courtney's chest. And I'm like, I bet he's flashing back to when he saw Lindsay for the first time. And I like that little teary eye. I'm not going to lie to you.
Aww. Okay, so what do you think about the Gabriel, this was last week, Gabriel and Chelsea's getting very, very close, and you know, there was an eye issue, and we thought the corneas were going to not work, and then he, you know, gets her to the, you know, just after they had that argument, then they, you know, or she had the argument, and then he rushes her to the hospital, and, you know, to make sure that Connor's okay. You know, God, I just can't think tonight. Kelly, you know, what do you think about the Chelsea Adam storyline as it's progressing?
I am absolutely in love with that storyline because I kind of love Justin Hartley.
Yeah.
I mean, like, exactly. I think he's doing, like, such a good job. Of all the, I mean, and we say it, you know, time and time again, of all the recasts, I really feel like he's the best of all of them. You know, definitely New Billy. You know, since we still call him New Billy after, like, 6 months, I'd say that's a – you know, kind of a fail. But I mean, like, I think he's doing such a good job, and I freaking love him. But I'm ready because you can see the chemistry with Chelsea and Adam, and I'm just like, hurry up and tell her, like, hurry, just tell her, like, right now. Hey, now is the perfect time. How about you tell her right now? And then it's just like, no, I just know because I read all kinds of internet stories about you. I'm like, oh, come on. But I mean, like, yeah. I love the intensity. I love, like, the anxiety of, like, when is he going to tell her? And what is she going to do when he tells her? It's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah, but I have a feeling he's not going to be the one to tell. Now I think that it's going to come from fake Jack and Victor. I just have a feeling it's going to be like that because, you know, Jack's the only one that knows that that's Adam. So if Adam goes to talk to Jack, and Jack's going to be like, who the fuck are you? And then go report to Victor. So I just have the feeling that's going to be it, but I don't know. David, your thoughts on the Gabe storyline?
I will say it once again. I think it's just disgusting that they work together. I think it's so gross. And it's Justin Hartley's fault because he posted pictures of his new girlfriend. They went to the Emmys together. I wish he didn't do that because now I know who his girlfriend is. So his girlfriend is best friends with his co-star. So he's making out with his girlfriend's best friend. And it's just disgusting and gross. And he's miscast. He should be Billy Abbott. I don't like it. I think acting-wise, he's doing a great job. But I just think he's in the wrong role. And same with Amelia Hair Girl. She should be Mackenzie, not Victoria. And I don't know. I would rather Justin not be on the show because I can't think of anybody he could be with. He doesn't have chemistry with Sharon Case. Making out with his best friend's girlfriend, which is kind of like, or his girlfriend's best friend, which is kind of like incestuous, sort of. I mean, he did play gay on Revenge, so maybe, I don't know, maybe him and Ronan, you know, I mean, or, you know, Rafael Torres can come back and he can be with him, but I don't see him with anybody. And Sage can go fuck herself. I don't like that character. She's desperate. If it comes out that she's that girl that Nick triple double dog dared and broke her neck and she's getting like this revenge, like a la Monte Cristo, then I'm all for that. But aside from that, she seems desperate and clingy. And
I'm sorry, David, I've just got a habit tonight of stepping on your toes. I'm sorry. If that is her, like, her plan and that is who she is and she, you know, her whole plan is to get revenge on Nick, is that not, again, redoing the same storyline? Hello, Hillary.
No, it's different because Hillary actually loves those two guys. And plus, Chuck Pratt has proved us yet again, he will repeat himself no matter what. I mean, we had, Sheila Carter had Phyllis's face, and then her sister had Lauren's face. And can't forget fake Kathy. And so we have two Jacks. So he can do this. It's a little different. I'm okay with that. But there has to be some reason Sage/Herb is there. Because right now she seems like a desperate money-grabbing whore. And I think that she is a money-grabber.
Amen.
She went from one person, I'm going to get this trust fund, and yes, we'll pretend to be married. Then all of a sudden, they have sex four times. Oh, my God. I love Nick. I love him. They never even went on a date. They've never gone on a date. Even him and Avery went on dates. I love him. I can't. I just can't.
Yeah. Well, take a breather. So we have a character coming for a couple days, and I just wanted to get some feedback from Mr. David, and I don't know if Michael watched Guiding Light, but Lindsay McKeon is joining the show as Felicity. She's going to be on for two episodes. She played Mara the older Mara on Guiding Light, and you told me she either was nominated or she won some Emmys.
So she came on in November of whatever year she came on. The next year she got nominated. She literally had 2 months in the role and she got nominated.
Wow.
And number two, what's so funny is she actually played Jeff Branson's sister, Mara, and he wasn't there yet, but she played a sister. But the thing about it is, sure, she's coming on for 2 episodes. You know damn well it's going to be more than 2 episodes. You know, so they're going to keep her. And why bring in a new character? Why can't she be Heather? Paul needs his family. Like, why wouldn't they just recast? And Felicity, like, is she going to cut her hair in the middle of the show? Like, I don't understand what her point is. Like, I'm sorry. I don't understand why we need another character if he can't even write good for the characters on the show.
I know. So we do a lot of dogging and bad things, saying our negative thoughts, which are our real thoughts about the daytime. And I sit here as I do all day at when I sit at my desk and I watch the hashtag YR on my tweet deck, and I see like 98% negativity, especially with what's going on lately. So is there anything positive you could say, Michael, about General Hospital right now?
Well, where do I start?
Just one thing. Just tell me one thing that you are happy about. Just one thing.
This is going to take a while.
Come back to me so I can make it good.
See?
Oh, Lord. Okay, Kelly, give me one thing that you like about Young and the Restless right now.
I like that I love the show so much that even in some of the silliness of these storylines, I keep coming back because I know that even though there's bad times, they're going to come back around. And I can't wait to see it. But I mean, they're like, I love it. I love it. It's like a bad car wreck. You shouldn't keep watching it, but you do because you want to see what happens.
Exactly. And that's why us 20, 30 plus year viewers don't want to tune out, because it's been a part of our life for so long. But even though we are not happy with the stories that are going on in the situation behind the scenes, BTS. Okay, David, give me one positive thing about the show right now.
Which one?
Young and Restless, sorry.
I like the fact that not one performer in all of these bad freaking shows, which this show takes 260 shows a year, not one performance, not one actor has not brought their A game. They all fully believe everything that they are saying. They all fully believe the scenes they're in. Mm-hmm. So I stick around and I watch for the actors to support them.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Kelly said, you know what? Regimes come and they go. They don't stick around forever. Bill Bell did, because this was his baby. This was his legacy. He created it. So of course, when I saw a Bill Bell episode, a show that was bad, a storyline that was bad, I'd be like, you know what? He's going to figure out it's bad. And he usually would, like the whole killer on the forehead thing.
Yeah.
David Kimball, he figured
out. Oh, I remember that. That's what I started watching.
Got rid of him. Got rid of him. You know?
Yeah.
The whole Cricket is a model. I mean, have you seen her? She was an awkward teen.
Yeah.
He eventually made her a lawyer, which is more appropriate for her looks. And so I think that my point is, Jill fake shit, she's going to be here. She's been here for like 2 years. She's not going to be here forever. I was here before she was here. So I'm going to be here when that bitch leaves.
Yeah.
I just really hope CBS and Sony put people in place that care about the show and that honor its history. So that's what I'm waiting for.
All right. Well, I will say the only thing I could say right now is, and I say it almost every time, I keep tuning in for the actors, because the characters and the scripts are not their problem. It's the talent behind the script. So I appreciate everybody, but I really want to just give props to Sharon Case for continuing to deliver gold, even though she's giving the shittiest storylines and have been pretty much like she's sitting in an empty bowl of like a toilet bowl and empty, and people are just piling poop on top of her constantly with these storylines that she's had to do. And you know what? She delivers them each one amazingly. And I give props to her for that, because she is fantastic.
And
I mean,
go ahead.
Not only is she giving these shit storylines, but if you check her Twitter feed, she's never once complained about the show. She's always tweeting about having dinner with her friends or being on the beach. This woman is like, you know what? I'm going to rise above this shit. Yeah. I love her. That's why I love her. And I hope I meet her one day. I'm going to give her a big hug. I'm going to be like, you deserve an Emmy for just going to your job, girl. If they had a going to your job Emmy, you would win it every fucking year.
Yeah. Michael, did you come up with your favorite moment or something positive about General Hospital?
I will say, and it's just something that I've mentioned before, that, you know, I'm constantly entertained. I still have a good time watching it. There's things I hate, but that's okay, because I get over them. But I've noticed in the past year or so, when we've had characters like Anna or Alexis or Tracy or, you know, Maura West, or, you know, what they say, women of a certain age, there was a time, you know, a few years ago where, like, those characters, they were rarely seen. They were so focused on new 20-something-year-olds. They think, oh, we're going to bring in younger people, bring the younger audience in. And I like that there's been this focus. I mean, it's still always not consistent. You know, you might go a week without seeing someone. But overall, they've had these women in their 40s and 50s, you know, front and center. And I've really appreciated that, because that's who viewers want to see, the people they grew up watching or the people that they remember their moms or grandmas liking too. So I've liked that it's been a little more balanced cast-wise that way.
Yeah. I still think it's a little heavy, whatever the word is, kind of, you know, when there's too much cast,
definitely.
They could lighten the load a little bit, just like at Young and Restless, they could lighten the load as well.
Right.
Well, the
right.
thing I love about General Hospital is that, as stupid and crazy and just moronic as some of the storylines are, I can say this: Ron honors the history of the show. He thinks back, like that whole Luke and Patricia thing, excuse me. You have to have a writer who cares about the show and actually digs into the past to find that one scene that was mentioned in 1980-something. Like, that is awesome that he does that. And he's done it since he got on the show. I will say that. He's very consistent with digging in the past when he brings in new characters. Well, even, like I said, with Westbourne.
Yes.
Like, her name was really Westbourne, but she changed it to West. And we didn't get that clue forever. Like, we were like, Nathan West. What Nathan West? Well, it turns out his real name is Nathan Westbourne. And it's like, wow, that's awesome that he does that. Even the whole reveal of Fluke, that was like way in the past. And he dug into his little book. He dug into the archives. Him and Frank were sipping martinis, and Frank was talking about how much he loves me. And Ron was saying, no, I hate that bitch. Don't date him. And they were like talking about the show, like the history of the show. That's one thing I can say that I love about watching General Hospital. One thing that's great about the show.
Okay, well, let's wrap up here real quick. I just want to ask you, Mr. Michael, did you like your gift you got from Samantha Newark?
Oh my goodness. Yes, I did. Yes, I knew it was coming, and so it came, and my mail gets delivered at work, so I got it, and I open it up, and I go, and I show my boss, and because She's a couple years older than me. She knows the show. I showed it to other coworkers. They're like, I don't know what that is. I'm like, that's because you're young and dumb. And so I've got the DVD in the player. So I've been watching those. And although they didn't know it, I wore my gym shirt underneath a sweater. So I knew that it was there. And Maria Shriver came to campus to do a lecture that I got to see. So even though I didn't get to meet her and I was way in the back, I wore my gym shirt and was in the same room as a Kennedy. So I think that means something. That's important.
Well, isn't that special? Isn't that special? Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you got it. The other three winners got those too and posted pictures, and that was really a lot of fun. And actually, I don't know if you saw my tweet or not, but I actually got a surprise today from Shout Factory.
I did. I saw that. Yeah.
They sent me the box set of the Truly Outrageous box set with all three seasons with the bonus disc in it. So I will be doing some binge watching them gym this week. I'm really excited about that. Super, super.
Prepared, it's Violet.
I haven't seen it in 20 some years, so it's going to be fun to revisit it. Let's see. We don't have time for big long answers, so because we need a whole other spilled tea for this. But what are your thoughts about Hillary? Not from Young and the Restless, but Clinton, Michael.
Oh, I love Hillary. I do. I'm all for this. So she makes me happy. I like her. I liked her before. I was actually more of a Hillary fan than Obama fan, and then when he got the candidacy, obviously I switched to him and I came to like him, but this just makes me happy. I like her a lot.
Awesome. David.
She got my vote.
All right. That's pretty simple.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
I don't know if anybody's seen the miniseries. It was on last year called Political Animals.
Love it.
Sigourney Weaver was the first female president, and her husband was kind of like Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that Hillary's going to be president again for the third term. And I just think that the one thing she needs to do is she needs to sit Bill down and say, you fucking intern, I cut your dick off. I mean, he needs to not, he is a little older now, so maybe that's what she waited until he was old and decrepit and wrinkly down there just to run for president because no one wants his wrinkly dick.
Oh.
That's what she did. She's such a smart woman. Make her president right now. No, but I think she's going to be awesome. And I love it because she's post-menopausal, so people can't say, oh, she's going to be menstruating and launch nuclear weapons. Nope. She's over that. She's hit menopause way, 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 way long time ago. I am so happy that this woman is running, and I'm glad that she's going to win. I just, like I said on Sunday, I think that she needs to balance her, even though it's not really controversial, it kind of is, that a woman is running for president. She needs to balance it with somebody a little less controversial, like my sexy hottie, Gavin Newsom, and they should run, and they will win, and then he will be president after her two terms. So there.
Oh, okay. Kelly, your thoughts?
I'm a Republican.
That's okay.
I think that explains it all.
You'll be a Jeb Bush fan.
I will, but I will say that, for my own, 1.5 seconds of fame, I met Rand Paul once, so it's interesting to say that I, at one point, shook the hand of a potential presidential candidate. I don't think he'll go far. Jesus, I'm a Republican, so I don't have an opinion that I feel like I can voice and not look stupid.
Anyway, it's okay if you look stupid on here.
Oh my God.
That is hateful.
I'm just kidding. Hey, he's a baby killer, so let me just have that, okay?
Mine's about fiction, not real life.
I know that's right.
But still, even if, I mean, because we got to go, but I just want to say, even though you're a Republican, Kelly, you can still have an opinion about Hillary running if you have one.
Oh, well, I mean, honestly, when I saw every person on my Facebook and Twitter timeline posting pictures and, you know, little things about like, woo, she's running, I was like, oh, shit. Here we go. Okay. And that was my immediate reaction. And I haven't, you know, like, done any research. I don't know, you know, like, what policies are important to her. I'm just ready myself. Like, I know Obama's done some good things, but I'm ready for his ass to be out of office.
All right.
This whole healthcare is the biggest thing for me because, and Doug, I'm sure you can understand, you know, like, as a diabetic, healthcare is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
And when my insurance gets so effed up that I have to jump through hurdles to get the one medicine that sustains my life, you know, yeah, that's when you need to get somebody in office that's going to repair all the shit that he did and fix it. Fix Washington. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, backwoods, whatever. I don't care. Somebody get in there and fix shit.
All right. Billy Miller for president. Okay.
Amen. So. I vote for his fine ass for president. I'm telling you that right now.
All right. Well, let's wrap up here real quick. Any last words, Mr. Michael?
I would like to say that if you haven't seen it, that Jason Thompson, who plays Dr. Patrick Drake at Denver Hospital, got married last week. So yay, just congratulations to him. And that's all I got.
Okay. And Mr. David?
So I have been speculating if Bruce Jenner really was transitioning, and I said, no, he hasn't come out, so I'm not going to say anything. And then Jeffrey Tambor came out and said, I support Bruce Jenner transitioning. So clearly he is. And mm-hmm. I am ecstatic about the interview. I cannot wait. I think it's going to be amazing. And for Jeffrey Tambor to say that, I think it's hilarious because Jeffrey Tambor plays a 60-year-old grandfather who transitions.
Mm-hmm.
And he's divorced, kind of like Bruce Jenner. It's like so yeah. awesome. I'm just so happy right now. I cannot wait for this interview. And
yeah,
I hope his name is something like Belinda or something. No. I want it to be like Cammy, something with a K to fit in with the rest of the girls, you know? And I hope him and Chris get their hair done together and their nails done and they become best girlfriends. I'm so excited.
Okay. Kelly, any last words for this week?
So I think my last words need to be, I love Michael more than you love him. Not that I love him more than I love you. I love Michael more than you do.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I wouldn't let him babysit, though, girl.
That's all I'm saying.
What did you say?
my
dog is my most prized, he's my baby, and I would let Michael take care of him.
Oh, he'd probably kill dogs, too. Probably kill dogs.
No.
Call PETA. Call PETA.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for being here and hanging out with us. And you can catch David and Michael, if he's part of it, on Sundays right here on Blog Talk Radio at The Spilled Tea. So just go up to the search bar up above, type The Spilled Tea, and click on follow, and you'll get updates from their show as well. And don't forget to hit follow on this show so you can get email updates when our show is live and archived. So with that being said, thank you, Kelly, and I'll see you all online. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Talk Soap. And don't forget, the first and only rule of Talk Soap is that we do talk soap.